We are going to finish lesson one in our study on improving our marriages. I appreciate the good attendance and the good interest. This lesson one in many ways is sort of a shotgun study where we're going to talk about a lot of areas, touch on them, and then go into greater depth in the additional lessons that follow. But I will say that the time that we spend in making our marriages better is a very important spiritual task, a spiritual effort that will glorify God. I realize that we could approach our marriages in a worldly way, and there's even some value in terms of trying to make a marriage better in some of the things that the world has to give. But really, we want to have good marriages because marriage is instituted of God. And God likens marriage, when it is performed and has the right relationship, to the kind of relationship he has with us as Christians. In Ephesians 5:25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, just as the Lord does the church." There's so many things that come from having a good relationship with your mate. The enormity of it cannot be overstated. If the church becomes weak through generations, it's a problem of the home. You see a country in decline, it's a problem of the home. And while we can't change what others do or don't do, we can show the love of God, have a zealous faith in God, and let it change us. And that will be seen in the home. And as I go back and as we look at students that come in, and the students do well and don't do well, as we look at even the history of those that come and leave with us, various circumstances, you know, you go back and most issues come from the home. We found that when we have children that come here and they do well, most of the time what you'll find is parents very involved, parents who have a good relationship with one another. And so there's so many things we can go on and on and on about the consequences, both good and bad, of having the kind of marriage that we ought to have. And so now what I want to do today in this brief class is kind of a shotgun thing. We're going to talk about in the remaining lessons just some key things that the husband will do who's a Christian, and some key things the wife will do as a Christian. Now, the title of lesson one is "Things I Give My Mate Because I'm Christian." So what we're talking about here, you're doing these or not doing these, is a reflection of your commitment to Christ. You marry a Christian who's really Christian, then they will give you these things if they're following the Lord. Now, if their faith weakens, they may not. Now, and there's another lesson in itself. You want to have the best mate you can? Let your spiritual priorities be number one. Building one's faith, teaching, learning how to worship. You know, that is a foundation from which so many good things come. All right, so let's go ahead now. Let's talk about things that I will do because I'm a Christian, and now we're specific to men. Because I am a Christian, guys, take a deep breath. Because I am a Christian, I will take on big challenges. And one of those big challenges is trying to understand my wife. And we have book, chapter, and verse for this, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. It says, "Husbands likewise dwell with them," that is with the wives, "with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, husbands, why do we have problems with understanding our wives? Now, maybe most of you probably never had that problem. But just in case you did and wanted to, you know, what are some issues? What are some things that make this challenging?
It's real easy.
Yeah.
It's
That's right. And that's right. They're made differently, created differently, you know, wired differently. And it's for our good, because we wouldn't want them to marry somebody just like us, would we?
That's a big part of it, understanding yeah. They're not like us.
Yeah. And that's what attracts us. You know, it's an old saying that things that attract you will also make you want to attack one another, you know, because there are differences. And so again, understanding. We're going to take on to understand someone. How would we go about doing that? This is the basics. I want to understand this individual. What do I need to do? Yes.
Well, you got to be able to listen to them.
Yeah, yeah. You have to listen and ask. And we're going to talk about communication in marriage more specifically in the next lesson, in lesson two, when we have those available. And so, I've got to seek to understand. And I can remember back in school, I'll never forget, I used to love to do math tournaments. And I can never forget, as a sophomore in high school, giving some of these tournament tests and looking at them going, what? I didn't understand any problem there. But what I did is I said, I'm going to learn. I told my dad, I'm going to get a scholarship one day from this math tournament. And ended up dedicating myself to it and ended up doing that in the senior year. But it took time. There were times I'm just as lost as can be. There's a commitment to understand. Now, so I need to understand my mate. First off, God said so. But secondly, because he's going to bless me greatly. Let me ask you, wives. When you feel like your husband's trying to get to understand you, does that make you feel loved? Does that not make you feel there's a commitment there? And so, you know, the danger we face, we can seek to better understand, or we can seek just to go and do our thing. Well, they're crazy. And just go on and, you know, and just kind of. So there's a commitment there. You know, I did this the guys, since we're talking about guys, I got a major in understanding. Have you ever had a boss that really didn't care about what you thought? Really didn't ever ask any feedback from you? You know, I've had a few like that, but I was actually in a congregation once, and I'm not trying to put down the eldership. I think they had some of their internal problems with sickness and other things, but the preacher and the deacons didn't even meet with the elders for a full year. And it was like, you know, wow. I was telling Yvette, I said, I now understand better about wives, you know, feel like their husbands don't care about what they think, and they go on their way and very busy. I said, that actually helped me as a man going, oh, okay, yeah, so this is what that's like. So, again, let's talk a little bit about understanding your wife's position. Let's just do this a little bit. My wife wants me to understand. Now, I don't know about you. I was single for a good bit of my life. Didn't marry until I was over 30. And I remember what it was like to be alone and not have to worry about what anybody else thinks or make decisions for myself. I don't want to go back to that life. And the fact that someone cares enough about me to want me to know them, that's a blessing. That's not a burden. And when your wife committed to be your mate, do you know what risk she took on when she did that? You think about that. Now, what's a Christian woman to do when she marries a man? What does the Bible say she's to do? That's right. Leave and cleave, submit. Now, there's many things. She depends on you. She depends on you to be a breadwinner. And if Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, for dust you shall return. And we read Ephesians 4:28, let him his soul steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. That's a risk. But it's not just the breadwinner. What are you to provide for your mate? We've already talked about money. What's more important? What does your mate need from you more than anything else? If we was to make a list of the needs of the husband and the needs of the wife, you know what the wife would put number one?
Love.
I am unique. If the marriage is going as it is, my wife's, how can I say it, joy, happiness, fulfillment is dependent uniquely upon me of whether or not she feels loved by me. Now, you know what we can do as guys? We want to feel good about ourselves too, right? But you know how we can sometimes feel good about ourselves? And I'm not saying this is evil, but how do men typically feel good about themselves?
They've accomplished work.
Yeah. We can get all of our feel good about ourselves and accomplishment from work if we're not careful. And so I come home, I've worked myself at work, I feel like things are going great. And here, my wife's been in another world. She needs to know that I love her. And I can ignore that. And so again, I've got to consciously remember this, that the time that I spend in communicating with her, asking about her thoughts, listening to what she's experienced during that day is not trivial. She uniquely needs me. And so, she depends upon you for her emotional needs. She depends upon you for your spiritual leadership. And that's the other thing that is important. You are to be a leader spiritually. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. I realize that sometimes it may be the woman who's converted the husband. And the woman who initially has a background in the church and a background in spiritual things. But you as a man grow. Develop a zeal for spiritual things. Be a leader. That's what she does when she marries you. She puts herself at risk and is glad to do that. You ought to be honored, humbled, and never forget this. We can forget it. Some men think, well, I brought the money home. What does you want? I've worked, I've slaved. Oh, you got the money, woman. What you want now? Well, it's good to bring money home. But realize this, doesn't it? Now, I'm telling you again, it's for our good. It's a great blessing. And we as guys, we can go out accomplishing and fighting our battles, going out here at work and other things, accomplishing good things. And we can forget about our mates. And you see, we will not naturally know this. We're wired differently. And we've got to be reminded of this. And so, we've already talked about leadership. Let's talk about this part in leadership. Decision making. What typically happens, let me tell you what has typically happened that I've seen in the church, at least over a few decades. It's not at every group that I see this. But you know what typically you'll find, who do you see greater in attendance at churches? I would hope that husband and wife would be attending together and faithfully. But when that's not the case, you know who typically will be attending and who typically will not be attending? You'll see women generally taking the lead in spiritual things when a man falters. There's exceptions to that, but not many. Wonder why that's so. Well, certainly women are more connected to the children or are interested in instilling faith in children. But one of the things that I, as a husband, have to be committed to is to be a leader. Now, let me tell you what leadership is. Leader, when you say, you are a leader, tell me, men and women, what does that mean? You are a leader. I'm a leader, then I do what?
Set an example.
You set an example?
Take the right path no matter what everybody else is doing.
Take the right path? You're involved in a decision-making process. Really, leadership is about decisions and leading and going forward. Now, of course, in order to do that, you need to communicate. And a lot of reasons, a lot of times that men just give the responsibilities to women. Sometimes they don't care. Sometimes there's not communication. They don't work together, and it's almost, there are issues there. But What I need to do is I need to be making decisions that will cause spiritual growth. And I'm telling you, where you go, let's say you get a job somewhere. Should you just go take the place where you can get the best job? Well, what questions would you have? I'm going to move to Timbuktu over here in this state. I've got a job. Should you take that job? You need to ask some questions. Is there a church there? What's it going to mean to my children? And I'm not saying, you know, you think things through from a spiritual standpoint first. Let's talk about decision making. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, because this is really important. How do you work together as a team? You know, we want communication, but what if you communicate and you got two different ideas of directions you're going to go? What do you do then? Philippians 2, 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You are a leader. You have at least one person, if not a family, following your lead. How do you make decisions? We know what the Lord's will is, Lord's priorities, but how, you've got choices within the Lord's will of what to do. How do you go about that, Walker? How would you know what's the best interest of your home? But we got a decision. Let's talk about the move. Timbuktu. I got this job offered to me. And so what you need to do is come home. Honey, we're moving. Right? No. What did you do? You start talking and you start talking about it. And the first thing, guys, and our wives will love us for this, and we'll talk about this next lesson and how to do this right, to listen. Now, again, I want to tell you, I'm up here confidently telling you to do these things, so please understand, it's not because I've got this all together. I just, you know, this is the audience, and she'll know. We talk about these things, and you know, these are things that, you know, I'm glad she's glad to hear it actually coming out of my mouth, acknowledging these things. We constantly have to be reminded of this. So I tell you, sometimes I preach lessons like that with a mirror looking at the things that I need to do. So Ben won't be amazed, like, wow, he really does. After all. Okay, but how we go about me and Kay?
Well, just an observation when, you know, you're hitting on the points that are important, which is that we're different, we have to listen. They have different viewpoints. They're looking at it from a different standpoint of how is this affecting our home.
All right.
And we're looking at it as how is this affecting me being a provider.
Yep.
I know, and I won't elaborate, but as a younger man, I just made the decision because I thought, well, this is obviously what's best.
Yep.
But what was obvious to me wasn't always obvious to her, and her point of view gave things I hadn't thought about.
Yep.
So the older I get, the more I understand, the more experience it. God tells me I need to understand and listen, and I do, not just make the decision I think is best, because it's obviously best.
Okay. Other comments? Yes.
I was going to say the Bible tells us to be considerate as we live with our lives, so if you consider, you've got to consider their viewpoint. And it may not always be yours, but to his point, I mean, they're going to see things you do not see all the time.
Yes, be considerate. And what we generally do in our marriage, most of our decisions, overwhelmingly, we agree. There are a few times, it's just not a common thing. There are a few times where I may say, I know you want to do this, trust me, let's do this. And sometimes, as a leader, I'll make a decision that Yvette may not agree with. That's very rare for us. But when you listen and you talk and you weigh it out, and you talk about objections, you know, as a rule, what you do there, you really work together. You agree together. The headship does mean the final decision is made. I'll never forget when we decided to move to Charlottesville, Virginia. Yvette and I agreed to do that, but we had a son that was in high school, and we kind of involved him in that decision-making process because he had a great freshman year, and I was very concerned for him. And I'll never forget sitting talking with Stephen, and Stephen, you know, we talked about it some. He didn't realize what this was going to be. He had no idea. But, you know, I'll never forget him. He said, well, Dad, if this means that the Lord's work will be advanced, I'm all for it. I'm willing to do it. And I appreciate that. And Stephen and Nathan, we all talked later, that we didn't realize the challenges that was going to bring them. But it ended up being a very good thing. They said, I wouldn't have traded doing that for anything. But that was, and I'll tell you what, as a husband, that I was very burdened by that. Because I've had a little experience, not really bad, but you know, I remember that one of the experiences I had in high school was being moved from one school to another. But those are the kind of decisions you make, you look at, you communicate, and it may not just be husband and wife. It may be, you know, talking to your children as well. Okay, again, remember, this is shotgun study here, and I want to just kind of, cover, we're going to develop all of this much more. We're just kind of today, why I give my mate because I'm a Christian. Okay, wives. What you need to give your husband. And again, husbands, you may make a different list here, but I know the wives would put number one, love. Husbands likely would put number one, and what they need from their mate is respect. Respect is very important to a man. In Ephesians 5:33, when we talked about in earlier where husbands were to love their wives, notice what wives are specifically told to do. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You want to get a man, how can I say it, not wanting to be around you? Constantly challenge him. Now, I'm not saying that a man ought not to be challenged. But I'm saying that a man, you know, what makes us feel good is that we are doers, we accomplish. And being praised for that, and I'm not talking about it in an egotistical way, but feeling that we are accomplishing and achieving as a man, that makes me feel good. And having the respect for my wife, and we're not talking about flattery, we're not talking about the wife having to make something up. Oh, wow, you're really good at this, and kind of biting their tongue, you know. But we're talking about genuine respect. The worst thing you can do as a mate is to constantly harp on weaknesses. Now, we're going to talk about communication, and sometimes a mate may not communicate to you, and as a result, you feel like your needs aren't being met, and therefore you start trying to, and what that you'll do with men, the man's not going to want to be around you. I've seen situations where the man finds ways to do extra work. He doesn't have to, just not to go home. And it's kind of interesting, when needs aren't being met, you often see demands being met. And so again, it's really important that you respect your husband's and that which you can legitimately respect them in, and be wise in how you communicate. That's hard. Because most of the times when the wife is not feeling very good about the relationship, the husband is too busy and is not listening. And the wife desperately wants, hey, I'm here. I've got this illustration given in my next lesson, but I think I'm going to use it. You know, I heard of a couple once where the wife felt like she was being neglected in attention and being left out. And rather than complain, she had a very unique way to get the attention of her husband. The husband spent a lot of time doing things on the computer and so on. And she got an old computer screen with just the frame of the computer and just put it over her face and came up to the husband. You know, because the husband spent all this time looking at the computer screen. Now, I'm not going to say who did that. I won't mention that. But it was a unique, nice little way to kind of get attention. And I said, oh, okay. Uh-oh, I gave that away, didn't I? So, So anyway, there are ways you can, you know, gently, maybe humorously, kind of remind your mate of your needs without nagging. And you can go worse than this. You can end up really even talking to others and really just emphasizing the negative. And you go, I want to communicate. There's a way to communicate. And there's also a way to lose your spirit. And it can be seen. Look at this one. You married a non-Christian. Now, the Bible doesn't say how that happened. But maybe they became a Christian after marriage. But whatever. What are you going to do when you have a non-Christian mate? Look at this. This is wisdom here. This is divine wisdom here. 1 Peter 3:1, wives likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, now wait, I need to tell him. I need to talk to him every day. He needs to be a Christian. I need to tell him things he needs to do, right? What? They, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You trust God, His ways will work. And maybe your husband disappears for a while from really communicating with you, and you have to wait patiently, burdened by this, but I think that he'll come back to you. I think there will be occasions where he'll open his heart to you. But here, this is the idea of trusting God. And we've already talked about this, about judgment. We've already talked about decisions. But Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting for the Lord. And again, communicate. Now, you can't compromise God's will. You know, one of the challenges that can happen sometimes in a marriage when we have children, and that is mother-daughter relationship and decisions on modesty. You know, I've found the differences in men and women and decision-making. You know, some of the challenges that can come up is in areas like that. Now, and I think a good woman would want to communicate with the husband, understand the perspective of men, of not wanting to force an issue. Men need to have enough courage to talk to their wives and daughters. What should a woman do when she disagrees or wishes to be heard? Some of you guys throw out, what should a woman do when she disagrees with her husband and the decision her husband's making?
I think come and tell him that she respects his leadership, but she disagrees, and they should look at Scripture and talk about one.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing I've learned. First off, my wife loves me and is highly interested in a good outcome for the decision. And matter of fact, she's smarter than me. I won't admit that often, but I'll admit that today. She's smarter than I am. And when I hear something that she wants to communicate to me, this is serious. And I need to listen. And, you know, getting good advice is always good. And you're not going to get better advice from your mate who's a Christian, who loves you and loves God. And so you do want to listen. And that's valuable to you. You as a wife, again, we said this already, set this example of humble service to God. We've already read from 1 Peter, but verse 5 and 6, for in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, who daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. What is one of the powerful things you can do as a woman in the home? You ever seen the Poor Boys restaurant? They still exist. They still have those restaurants out. You know, they used to have little sayings on the wall, but one of them is very true. You can fill in the blanks. If mama ain't happy, okay, good. And, you know, you will set a tone in the home that can be cheerful, that can be optimistic, that can be building, or you can rain with thunder and lightning, and you know, have tension and stress and have everybody be afraid to say anything, you know. You may say, well, that may be true in my home. Well, maybe not be, but I generally found this to be true. Woman has a great influence on the atmosphere of the home. And so, again, our home ought to make us strong. And I do know this, in my home, my dad did not take a spiritual lead, but my mother did. And I'll eternally be grateful to her for that. She took time to read with my brother and I, and we aggravated her to death, but she hung in there and stayed with us. By the way, y'all let me know when bells ring. That to happen, okay. All right. Any comments? We did a shotgun here.
Just looking over this outline, it's amazing to me that these concepts are very, very difficult, even with somebody who is truly dedicated to serving God. And so I want to impress upon my children, and maybe the college students here and the high school students, you're not going to be able to get this right if you just have somebody who's been dumped in the water. So I don't want my kids looking for the best-looking girl who's been dumped. I want them looking for somebody who is truly dedicated to God. And even then, this is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
But we can get there if we're married to that kind of person.
Yeah. And you will find these qualities here you're going to find are going to affect almost all relationships, too. The kind of character we're speaking of here. And we'll be developing this further and talk about communication and some other things. The home will truly bless you, but you got to put God's will in it. Now remember what we talked about one more time in this lesson. We're talking about what you will do for your mate because you're a Christian. We're not talking about what's a good idea. But we're talking about what you will do because you're a Christian and you've studied God's word. And so, again, be committed to this. And so, if somebody reminds you, you know, if I'll say this. You continue to be zealous for the Lord. You continue to build your spiritual strength. That's the best thing. From that base, you're going to see all kinds of good things come. You may struggle. You'll have to learn. It may go through failures and processes there, but it'll bless you. Yes. Yes.
He's put us together. He's created us. So sometimes we think, well, I don't get that. Why would God want me to do that or not do that? We may not get it. But if we trust in the God who knows us and made us, then last week the context was, he knows how divorce hurts us. He doesn't want that for us because he loves us. So he's got the big picture. And in the same way, he knows this works. God's plans always work.
Yeah.
We trust him. We say, you know, I don't get this. This is hard for me. I don't like this. But when we do it anyway, we'll be blessed because it's God's plan.
Yeah. And one of the things, y'all let me know if you hear the bells yet, so I know we're right on time. We've had one. One of the things that, you know, I was not really a Christian until I became older, really committed. And I had to learn a lot of things that I had not known before. But in the home, it's really important to overcome maybe bad influences. Some of us may have come out of weak homes, difficult homes, but the Word of God can help you learn how to be what you ought to be in your marriage. And so letting God's Word be dominant, having the humility to let God's Word change you. We're going to talk more about that next week. We talk about communications. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the home you come out of, its strengths and weaknesses, are things that will impact you, but you can overcome it through study of God's Word. Thank you for your participation today.